is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Edinburgh, Scotland, to Simon Constable, writing for Barron's and Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, and other distinguished publications, watching the world prices adjust to the pandemic or the recovery, either or. We begin, however, with news from Scotland that speaks to the past and the future. This is about the independence vote of some years past that did not succeed. Scotland remains integrated into the United Kingdom, part of the kingdoms. However, within these hours, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Boris Johnson, very well known to the American audience, is traveling to Edinburgh, Scotland, and other points to visit the Scots. This in a program that the Prime Minister says will demonstrate more and more of the ministers of the cabinet in London attending to the needs and the voices of people from Scotland. However, there is one Scot that the Prime Minister has chosen to avoid. There are stronger words within these hours, and that Scot lives in Bute House, not very far from Simon Constable. Of course, I'm talking about the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon. Simon, a very good day to you. This is a puzzling day in Edinburgh. I'm sure you can look out your window and see all preparations for the Prime Minister's visit, except around Bute House. Is there one explanation for why the PM, world famous, would seek to avoid the First Minister, who is also world famous? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Yes, there is a very simple explanation for this. Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland, has one question for Boris Johnson and has had that one question for years, and that's, please let me have a referendum for independence again this year or next year or whenever the nearest time she can get one done is. And he's got one answer for her, which he's already told her, which is no. You had one in 2014. It was a resounding defeat for the independence movement. It was by 10 percentage points difference, 55% in favor of staying in the union, 45% in favor of leaving. And it was supposed to be a once in a generation referendum. Well, I don't think 6 years or 7 years is really a generation unless we're talking about, you know, cats or something. So, it isn't going to happen. He doesn't really want to, you know, go there, be asked the question again. He just says no. So I don't blame him for not wanting to be there. But there are other issues, like it creates and draws attention to the situation.
I read from the London Times, in a letter sent to Sturgeon last night, this is Johnson to Sturgeon, PM to First Minister, Johnson, in effect, rejected the offer for the visit, but said he was still, quote, keen to arrange an in-person meeting with you and other first ministers, end quote, to build on, quote, constructive discussions we had earlier this summer. The Prime Minister said the shared priority of recovering from the pandemic would be the main topic of any future talks. He adds, I am particularly keen that we work closely on the vaccination booster campaign this autumn, which will be crucial as we continue to tackle the pandemic. So right now we leave the face-off between the First Minister and the Prime Minister and turn to the pandemic. Simon, August 9th, in some days, was said to be the Freedom Day for Scotland, lifting most of the mandates. There's a long list here. I can't tell you what is or is not in effect right now. But is the assumption that there will be new freedoms Monday still in place, given that what we know now is the Delta variant is sweeping around the globe, including in London?
Yes, I think there will be new freedoms. How long they last, I do not know. At the current time, most people have gained the habit, really, of every time they go into a shop or a restaurant or a pub of putting on their mask so they don't spread any germs or viruses around. And that's probably going to continue to be a habit for a long time, even though in Britain the restrictions in England, the restrictions aren't quite as severe as they are here in Scotland. But I expect they'll be lifting on Monday And we'll see how long that lasts. And as you know, it's very hard to predict what governments will do from day to day. One day it's we're all going to be free. Next day we've got restrictions. So who knows? You can't really plan anything, or at least you just have to work around plans when the government changes the rules.
Let's begin in Edinburgh right now. What we know to be true about Edinburgh, Scotland. You have a world famous, solar system famous festival each year in August in Edinburgh. It is a beautiful city, especially when it's festive in summertime. The evenings are soft and the sunset is spectacular, and the tourists gather in great number for all demonstration of arts and performances and poetry readings, celebration of Burns, all of that. Do you see that in place this year, or last year was virtual? What does it look like to you as the crowds gather this year, Simon?
Well, there is going to be an Edinburgh Festival this year and a Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and the rest of it, there's going to be social distancing. One thing there isn't in this city at the moment are loads of crowds. It is normal to find the sidewalks chock-a-block with tourists from other countries getting lost around the windy streets of Edinburgh's old town, and also getting lost in the new town as well. That's normal during the festival, and we're not seeing that. I was up in the new town on George Street earlier today, and there was barely anyone around. I mean, there were a few people coming and going from shops, but that was it. It is not the same thing as it would have been 2 years ago when it was jam-packed. And as it would have been for every year going back decades. So that's a bit of a problem, and not a good situation for Edinburgh's economy, which relies heavily on tourism. So fewer people spending money on beer and drinks and breakfasts and lunch and dinners and all those entertainments that you mentioned and going to those every evening. So not good, not as dazzling and sparkling as it normally would be.
Here's the puzzle then. The world is not coming to Edinburgh in great numbers. That would be, the Germans love Edinburgh, and they're always there, and they spend a lot of money, so all of Northern Europe enjoys the festival. However, the question is Edinburgh or Scotland and England going to Europe. I read from the London Times in these last hours. This is part of the confusion. Spain escapes UK's travel red list as beta variant fails to take hold. Spain will not be placed on the travel red list because of a significant fall in cases and concerns that there are not enough hotel rooms to quarantine holidaymakers returning to England. Ministers will announce tomorrow, that is within these next hours, that Spain will remain on the amber list, enabling those who are fully vaccinated to continue to enjoy a quarantine-free return. Simon, I don't hold you responsible for this, but it can on occasion feel as if I'm describing a bouquet of gladiolas as to what color is now dominant in what part of Europe. Let's name the countries that people are most interested in for August. That would be Portugal, Spain, the Iberian Peninsula. That would be France. All of the Mediterranean islands. France, certainly. Yep. Southern France, dominant. Italy and Greece. Now, I checked yesterday, and I'm behind times as to who's on amber, who's on green, who's on red. I do know that amber has had the burden of self-isolating when you return. I know, Simon, you're up to date on this because you dart around the continent in August, as everyone does. But I report to you that Paris is empty. Okay, so is Edinburgh empty of Scots? Are they traveling to the continent, or have people given up on the idea of going to Europe this summer?
Well, the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has given up on the idea of going to Europe this summer. He's having a staycation, and I think a lot of other people will do the same, partly because of restrictions on what things will be like when you come back from the continent, whether you will have to self-isolate or not. People will still go, but I think it will be fewer. And then the European Union has decided that British holidaymakers will have to pay €7, that's about $10, to enter Europe. which is crazy, given that the economy in Europe needs British holidaymakers, particularly Spain, particularly Portugal. But hey, why not just take some of their money away and give it to the government? And I guess that's what's going to happen.
I puzzled about that €7. I puzzled how they arrived at that number and what it's for. Now, we don't have the answer, but it's a fresh puzzle how the European Union decides that the people coming from outside the European Union, that is the Brexiteers of the Great Britain, should pay a penalty or what appears to be a tax, a head tax. I'm wondering if they're charging it for the Americans arriving in Europe, but those things are to be determined. I want to concentrate on France. The puzzle here is, has France been singled out? There is that suggestion in Paris by Mr. Macron that France has been singled out to be punished by the Brits for past excesses of nationalism. Can we go back several hundred years? I think we all know what I'm talking about, a man from Corsica. However, is there your sense, Simon, that there is enmity with France that does not obtain with, say, Italy or Greece? Is there a prejudice here that I need to know about?
Well, there is a long-standing friction between England and France that basically lasted from the Norman invasion of 1066.
Yes, 1,000 years.
A 1,000 years. So for most of that 1,000 years, Britain and France were warring, as you rightly pointed out. That subsided during the latter half of the 19th century when the warring started with Germany, as the Kaiser united the Germanic states into one country and then went to war, with the rest of the continent. So yeah, there is friction with France historically. Now it doesn't involve throwing bombs or shooting cannons or guns at the French or vice versa. What it involves is hurling insults back and forth. I think that's a much better way to behave than killing people, because although sticks and stones, et cetera, may break my bones, you know, names will never hurt me. And I think that's a good thing. I didn't know that the French were feeling victimized by the English. And I think that the Brits would love to go to France. In fact, there is a place in France called Provence, and it's Provence because it was a province of Britain.
Right.
Or the English crown.
And in the summertime, you only need to speak English, and Provence is so heavily filled with English tourists. That is not the case this year. It is not the case.
No, not this year. It will be interesting to see what actually happens from that. I think the French should love us. We certainly love the French, but, you know, who knows?
Simon Constable, we're going to turn to prices next, the unhappy inflation that may or may not be temporary, especially about foodstuffs and the climate and the wildfires and Simon's identification of hotspots around the world. Pick one. It's hot. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.